I am thankful for the invitation to come out to be before you today. Thankful to Pastor Patterson and the elder team and the ministerial staff for this invitation. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The word of God reminds us, saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it. We have to rejoice in God's word. Amen. Amen. Because he is good. Amen. Amen. Can you turn me down just a little bit, brother? I don't know where you're at. I don't want to blow you out because I get to be a little loud sometimes. But I want to just thank God for what he has done for me. And I'm going to ask you to pray for my family. Because on Tuesday, I received a phone call. And I noted the time. It was 11:07 in my ear. They said, Arthur, your sister just passed at Henry Ford Hospital. I was at work. And so I started to ask questions about what was going on and how can we just do what we need to do to help the situation calm down a little bit, because the person on the phone was a little hysterical. But I'm going to ask that you would pray for me and my family. My sister's name is Willie Mae May, and she just turned 70 years old and battling with alcohol addiction. Her mind was gone, I know. And I need to talk to the young people for a minute. And the young people, leave drugs alone. Leave alcohol alone. It's not worth it. And so my family is struggling right now. And I was going to make the phone call and tell Sister Perry Dent that, I needed some time to heal. But I counseled with the ultimate counsel of God. And he says, he said, that would be healing for you. He says, go forth. And I said, Lord, I don't have much to talk about. I don't feel, we get into those situations, pastor, elder, that we don't feel like praising God. We don't feel like worshiping. But God says, come unto me. All you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I had to make my way. And I know that when we are hurting and in pain, sometimes God can use us the best. Yes. Can I get a witness? Amen. So when I know somebody is going through something in here today, and we're going to get into those things in just a few moments. I'm not going to hold you long. I see the hour is late, but they tell me I only have about an hour and a half to preach. Amen. So I'm not going to hold you long. Amen. Because I am long-winded. Amen. So inside the sermon, if you see me shed a few tears, just bear with me. Because God's in the midst. And sometimes I just have to be obedient. And we all have to be obedient. And I just want to thank God for holding all of us up. Because we're all going through something. Yes. We come out the house, we look good, we put on our best clothes, we put on whatever we need to put on, we dress ourselves up. Yes. And then we go out into the public in pain, broken and shattered and hurting. Yes. But yet and still, God says, keep going. Go forth. He says, I got you. I'll hold you up in the midst of your pain and your suffering and whatever you're going through. I'll hold you up. Because God is an awesome God. He's mighty. His power is more than enough. I said, Lord, I need you today. I need you forevermore, because my pain is deep today. But I know that God can walk us through that. So I'm asking you to just hold on and bear with me. And I know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I'm asking you to be strengthened today by his word. So I have a word today that God has given me. And Pastor, we go back and forth with what we think God wants and what God really wants. So I battled with what I wanted. And God says, no, I need somebody in here needs to hear this message. I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. We have a conversation. But God says, I am the way. He says, do it my way. So I'm going to be obedient to the word of God and allow God to have his way. What I would ask you to do right now is to pray with me. I ask that you would bow your head and pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our God, our Redeemer. Lord God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father God, I call upon thee to ask now, Father, that you would come in and abide with us, Father. Come in and let your spirit rest upon each and every one of us. Strengthen us in your word. Father, I pray that you take your manservant, Father, take me and hide me in the cleft of the rock as you did Moses. And come by here and bless us all. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, I found out that in my journey, I was doing some research, and I was just conscious enough to realize that our faith walk is with Christ. We have to stay in his will. And I used this message to touch somebody and remind them that we have to stay in the lane that Christ put us in. And sometimes we get out of the lane and we get out of God's will for our life, and God has to put us back. Christ has a gentle, loving spirit, and he kindly puts us back in the lane. And it reminds me of when we're on the highway. Some of you all have been on the highway traveling, and you got those lane bumps right there, and some of you all get to nodding off and you get tired, and when you get out the lane, out the white lines, you hit those bump lanes, and it wakes you up. So sometimes God has to do that to us. We get out of God's will, we get out of the lane, and God has to wake us up. But I want to talk to you briefly about the will of God and about his way or my way. And the title of this message is, Do You Line Up? Do you line up? I'm going to use two individuals to home in on this message. According to the Bible and biblical tradition, some say that the myth about David is real. Some people say that it's just a myth. David, born in 1035 and gave up the ghost on 970 BC, was the second king of ancient United Kingdom of Israel, who helped establish the eternal throne of God. A former shepherd, David was renowned for his passion for God, his touching psalms. David was a man after God's own heart. His passion allowed the kings to be musically addressed when they were having issues. His inspiring courage and his special warfare, his ability to fight as a warrior, and even some would talk about his good looks. He was a man after God's own heart. My question today is, do you line up? Some may talk about his illicit relationship with Bathsheba, even his connection with the eternal Jesus, the Christ, coming through the line. Some say David is a man that was after God's own heart. Born in around 1000 BC, David was the eighth son and the youngest of Jesse from the tribe of Judah. Like King Saul and King Solomon, David reigned for 40 years. 40 years is a long time to be in power. Now, I had to put a pin right there because I just asked, now, what about if we had Trump for 40 years? If Trump was in power for 40 years, a sidebar, forgive me, I just had to go there. But David, a man after God's own heart, was in power for 40 years. That's a good thing, right? Not someone like Trump. It's an awesome thing. David was a man that prospered, and he was in good standing with God. Some talk about the time that David was there, said it was the golden age for Israel. Although David was just as flawed and full of sin, and a man that needed God just like you and I. David, a man that came through Judaism and was a Christian, King David, his name is mentioned in almost 60 different chapters in the Bible. David, a man after God's own heart. The Bible talks about the information coming from the Bible. David is a king that had some situations in his life. He was a king that was pitied. He was a king that had to repent. He was a king that had submission in his life, as well as a forerunner for the Messiah. The Jews anointed him as their champion, talking about David. But I want to talk about David, one, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, number two. The other one, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there were some remarkable similarities between these two kings, King Jesus and King David. David was a man after God's own heart. There was none like David as king. 62 chapters in the Bible mention his name. 2 Samuel 2 talks about David being triumphant, David tragedies in his life. David had troubles in his life, just like you and I have troubles in our life. Jesus had his own triumphant time and tragedies in his life as well, even as he faced the cross. In both of these two kings, we will go over the will of David and the will of Jesus Christ. We will see that Jesus is the King of Kings. We will see that the coming King, Jesus, is who we're looking for. We will see that the crucified King, Jesus, is who we want to be in our life. We will see that the crowned King should be Jesus Christ in our life. We see the conquering King, Jesus, who conquered all. David had his time, and Jesus had his time. David had been anointed king of Israel in 1 Samuel 16:13, but until Saul died, he could not be appointed officially as king. During this intervening years, Saul hunted David and tried to kill him for many years. I don't know about you. Have you ever been haunted by somebody? Have you ever been hunted by somebody and haunted by somebody? David was the king who waited for his time to become king. Jesus was also the coming king. In Matthew 2:2, it talks about, where is he who is to be born king of the Jews? Where is he to be born the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the King of the Jews? The Magi talked about seeing him, seeing the star in the east. It says, we came to worship him, the Magi. Later, they talk about King Jesus riding on a donkey in the streets of Jerusalem. They cried, said, this is the one who we've been waiting for. The prophecy of Zechariah is being fulfilled. Behold, your king is coming lowly and sitting on a donkey. Matthew 21:5. Israel king had indeed arrived. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But some said David was king for that period of time. But will they receive King Jesus? Will they receive King David. We will look at the crucified king and how David lost his life for what he believed in. Are you willing to sacrifice your life for what you believe in? David was not literally crucified as Christ was. Christ was indeed crucified and gave up his life. King David had problems. King Jesus had problems. But this proverbial term, they crucified him, meaning they really gave him a going over. David had his time, and Jesus had his time. David did indeed have many troubles in his life. We know a little bit about David's life. The Bible talks about it. It talks about his adultery with Bathsheba. We all know the story. But we're talking about the parallel between the two kings. Ammon and immorality and absolute murder. Talking about two kings. One that was rebellious. Talking about the king with his nation. Sheba's revolt. Talking about these kings and what happened inside of Israel. He was forced to flee from Jerusalem, David was, for his own safety. As he was leaving, he was cursed. He that provided for David knew that they had to have God's spirit with them. David was crucified by his own people. Have you been crucified by somebody close to you? Have you been talked about by somebody close to you? Have you been ridiculed by somebody close to you? I don't know about you, but I've been through those trials and tribulations myself. Somebody that you trust, you allow them to come into your space, and then they hurt you. They do wrong to you. And then they will hang you out to dry. Some people allow you in their space for a reason. Some people allow you in their space just to hurt you. Even his own disciples forsook him, talking about Jesus. And his time had not yet come. Judah betrayed him, and Peter denied him three times. He was then taken to Anna, then Caiaphas, and then the Sanhedrin, and then Pilate, and then Herod, and finally back to Pilate. Jesus went through pure hell as our king. Jesus finally was crucified by the Jews, and they were shouting at him, "Crucify him, crucify him, this one who said that he is equal with God." Jesus became the crucified king, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the king of the Jews. Jesus was beaten before he was crucified. He bled and he died. He was crucified for our sins, for my sins and your sins. Jesus Christ died and paid it all. He paid it all. Why? Because he's a loving God, because he wanted us to have life and have life more abundantly. After the death of Saul, David was finally crowned king by the people. David was anointed king three times. The first time in 1024 B.C. in Bethlehem, and the second time 13 years later. And then Hebron crowned him again 7 years later. David was crowned three times as king. 33 years plus 7 is 40 years that we had to have that David, the Bible talks about that David was king. Thinking about Jesus Christ becoming our crowned king. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and God of all. The crowned one, the one that was denied, but he is also king. King Jesus is the one that you and I should live for, the one that you and I should strive to be like. I don't know about you, but I want my life to parallel Christ's life. I want my life to be like Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is the one that we should look up to, the one we should look for his return, the one that we should look for who's coming back again, who can take us home to be with him forever. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to see him for myself. I want to hold on to his never-changing hand. I want Jesus Christ to be in my life. I want to turn my life around, turn my life and your life over to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know about you, but my life has went through changes as we gotten older, as I've gotten older, and as you have gotten older. I'm sure you have went through changes in your life. It was not time for him to be king, talking about Jesus. The mob was not there for him. They was there just for him. They were there to make him king. Jesus was heavenly king, but it wasn't time for him to be the earthly king. It says, not by the hands of man he wanted to be king, but rather by the power of God that will make him king, that will reign forever and ever. Amen? Amen. God is good. I want God to be in my life. Amen?
Amen.
The tale of these two kings, King David and King Jesus. God's way and God's time equals God's will for your life and my life. Before his death, the Roman soldiers dressed Jesus up as a king in mockery and gave him a crown of thorns. But when Jesus returned to heaven by descent, he will be on the Mount of Olives. He will truly be crowned forever and ever, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:16 tells us, when Jesus has purged our sin, he sat down at the right hand of the Father and said, Lord, these are your children. Lord, Lord, I have done what I could for your children. These are your children. We have to bless them and keep them and sanctify them and turn their hearts back to us. King David and King Jesus, the parallel life. In these 10 chapters, it talks about the victorious heart of David. David and his military might was a man that was recorded in history as having 11 mighty, mighty battles in certain chapters. His empire was growing, and the nation was both prestige and the nation was powerful. Rejected and rebellion was in men's heart, but they could not keep him from being on the throne, talking about Jesus. The book of Revelation pictures Jesus as a conquering king. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus Christ to be my king.
Amen.
He conquered the flesh. You and I have sinned, the Bible tells us, and come short of the glory of God. The Bible reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He conquered sin. We are sinful people in this world. But I'm so glad that he conquered death and the grave.
Amen.
Because the grave couldn't hold him. Amen?
Amen.
I'm so glad he early on Sunday morning, he rose up for your sins and my sins. And to him be glory, majesty, and power and dominion forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
He is good. He conquered Satan and his demons. For all time, he conquered me and he conquered you. Amen?
Amen?
We are troubled. We are troubled in this life. But I'm so glad that God came to show us a way. He says, if you come to me, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man come unto the Father but by me. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ came to be in our life, in my life, in your life. He is mighty. He is the mighty God. From heaven above, the angels will bow before him. Heaven and earth will adore him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In verse number 8, it talks about his vengeance, the vengeance of the Lord. He says, you and I must be in good standing with the Lord if we do not want to see his vengeance in our lives. God is an on-time God. God is one who looks to us to talk to him and to repent and to confess that I am wrong or you are wrong and turn from our wicked ways, because he is a loving, a kind, and a forgiving God. Amen?
Amen.
And as God forgives us, we must forgive each other. Amen?
Amen.
There's some things that's going on in the church today that you and I need to get past.
Yes.
The Bible says, love one another as I have loved the church. Some things are going on behind the scenes that individuals don't understand, but we know that God wants us to love on each other. There shall be punishment when the King of Kings comes, and those who do not know him will be punished. The Bible says that. It's not my word, it's God's word. Amen? Amen. There shall be everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from his glory and from the power of his might. Amen? Amen. He will return and judge the world in John 5:22 and cast the devil and his angels into the eternal lake of fire in Revelation 20. God is a conquering God, and I thank God for what he has done for you and for me. Amen? Amen. He paid it all for you and me. The parallels between Jesus and David. Similarities and parallels between Jesus and David, they both were descendants of Abraham and from the tribe of Judah. They both were born in Bethlehem. They both had good parents, amen, and other siblings. They both were assigned duties as a shepherd. I'm so glad that we had a good shepherd, Jesus the Christ. Because some people will try to lead you and lead you astray, amen? Amen. But I'm so glad that if we hold on to Jesus, if we look to him, and as we call on Jesus for guidance that we need, we know that God is able and that he would take us to new heights and that he would guide us. Amen? Amen. The similarities between David and Jesus and Jesus and David. They both experienced confrontation in the wilderness, lions and bears and even Satan, the tale of these two kings. They both were to become kings. They both died in Jerusalem. They both love God. Amen? Amen. And you and I must get to that point to where we love God unconditionally, because that's how God loves us. Amen. Amen. He loves us with an everlasting love. God loves us in spite of who we are. Amen. I don't know about you, but I had my fair share of doing wrong in the past. But I'm so glad that God didn't hold me to that, because if I had to really got what I deserve, my life would have been over with. Some of you all have not walked in the path of righteousness all your life. But I'm so glad that God forgives us for our sins and our shortcomings, and he wants the best for us. If you and I just hold on to his never-changing hand, I'm so glad that God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. But some of us change. We change when we get a position. We change when we get money. We change when we get the big house. We don't want to invite people over for dinner anymore. We change. But God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We change as we get older. Some of us need to change for the best. We need to be entrenched in the word and God's power and his might. Because he is the one that's going to judge us at the end. When we stand before God, what would your judgment be? Who would you line up against? Would you line up with the line of David? Would you line up like Jesus? Or would you line up for yourself? So when I stand before the Lord, I don't want the Lord just to see me. I don't want him to see me at all. I said, Lord, cover me with your righteousness. Blot out my sins and my transgressions. Cover me, because you love me with an everlasting love. You've said and reminded me in your word, if I confess my sins, you were faithful and just to forgive me for my sins and all unrighteousness and cleanse me from all the hurt and pain. And then now, Lord, shield me from the fiery furnace. Some of us have done some things and we know we deserve to be in that fiery furnace. But because of God's goodness, his grace, and his mercy, he says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that I am Lord. He says, I will save you from that fire. I will blot out your transgressions and your sins. I tried to erase mine and do it myself. You know how some of us go and try to do things ourselves? It don't work. The Bible says, call on the name of Jesus. while he yet may be found. Because there's a day coming that Jesus Christ, it says that things will change in this world. We'll see that the things are changing now. And the Bible says in the last days that the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn from this earth. And we see it now with so much killing and so much murder and all the things that's going on. And death is all around us. People don't care about what's going on in your life. They don't care about, you got a new car? I want it. I'm going to take it. People have guns I just read a story just this morning about an individual that seeks to hurt people. What he does is he catch people at the gas stations and at stores and stuff, and people leave their car open. And then this young man would get in the backseat of cars, and you drive off, and you don't know somebody's in your car. So I'm telling you, you and I must call on the name of Jesus and pray without ceasing at regards to where we're going. If we just go into the corner store, I wanted to say liquor store, but y'all don't do liquor. I'm sorry. If you're just going to the corner store, just going to get some gas, you better pray without ceasing. Because God is a good God. And he will help you. But you have to be careful nowadays. When you get in your car, especially ladies, they're lurking for you because you're not paying attention. You're on people on the phone, they're dialing up stuff and walking. That's how the lady walked off the dang on plank in New York. She walked off the platform, walking down there on the tracks, almost lost her life. On the phone. Young people, stop texting. Watch where you're going. Yes. Satan is seeking who he may devour. He's like a roaring lion. He's trying to get you. He already has a device in your hand because you're distracted, because you're not. If you don't have Jesus on it, you should wait till you get someplace safe and you know that you spend time with God. God will shield you from all of those things. But those devices, some of them are Satan's ploy to distract you from Jesus. Yeah. All the time, I see people, even coworkers, on the phone, walking down the hallway. I see you about to walk into the wall. You're on the phone. Just text. I said, did you look up? I just stood there one day. I just stood right there. I wasn't going to move. Walk right into me. On the phone. Texting. But we know God came that we might have life. He says, I came that you might have life. And what have it more abundantly? God gave us all these ideas, all these tools, all these gadgets. God is a creative God. He wants us to be creative. But he also wants, he says, let this mind be in you that's also in who? Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. And love on God. Love on Jesus Christ. But most of all, pay attention. Because this world is changing. And some of us are not paying attention to what's going on in the world. I just talked to someone just the other day about what I do for ministry. And I said, so I'm not proud of what I do, but I'm thankful to God that God has chosen me to do what I do because I want to work for the Lord. Amen. I tell Bill, I said, I had to go punch in today. I punched in for Jesus. Amen. But because of what I've been called to do as a chaplain for the Detroit Police Department, I get to see things I don't want to see. I get to hear things I don't want to hear. But you and I must stay before Christ. We must stay in prayer. Because I see so many of our young people. I was looking up for the young man that just talked about his cousin drowned. Things are happening all around us. And everything that happened don't make the news. Some things are just community. They happen in the community. I've driven them down communities and the streets are blocked off. And before you know it, there's a yellow tarp over a person. Why? Don't know what happened. But I'll go to the precinct and find out A, B, and C happened. But you and I must be about, like Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. You and I must be about Christ's business. If we want to get out of here alive and we want to get out of this world and make that transition to the world before us, that Christ said, I came that you might have life. If we want to make it to eternal life, we must pay attention because the world is changing. And it's not going to get any better, saints. It's not getting any better. You and I must be about our Father's business. Amen. And know that we must be in Christ and be prayerful about whatever we do. I said I wasn't going to be before you long today. But I want you to know that these two individuals, Christ and David, they have a lot of similarities in your life, in the life of these two. But what kind of similarities to Christ is in your life? If I was to line your life up with Christ, how would you measure? Christ comes back and says, I want you to stand next to me. And here is your life. We got the screens up here. This is your life. So when he starts showing you your life, how would it compare to Christ's life? And then he started reminding you of the things that he asked you to do that you didn't do, that you forgot about and that you put on the side burner. I do it too. We all guilty. But the Bible reminder says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we desire shall be added unto us. But we have to have a life that represents Christ. There are people, even in this church, that are hurting. There are people in this church that's not here because they have been hurt.
That's true.
Huh? But do we have a committee to go out and get them, Pastor? Do we have a committee to go out and to talk to them, elders? Do we have individuals who say, I know them. Here's where they are. Let's go and talk to them and see why they are not in church. Christ wants us all to have eternal life. He says not one should be lost. You and I must be about our Father's business. Here's, as I get ready to conclude, here's where you and I need to be. And this message would tell us. David was a man after God's own heart. And Jesus was God's heart. Hallelujah. Both reigned in spite of rejection and rebellion and rebelliousness from others. Both were disappointed by the actions of those that were close to them. And that's the hardest hurt that there is for somebody close to you to hurt you and to say all manner of evil against you. Both wept on the Mount of Olives over the tragedy taking place in Jerusalem. Both defeated their enemies, David, the nation, and Christ, death. The meaningful hymn would say, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thou shalt be led by back to Calvary. Lead me to Calvary. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. Amen. With Christ. Are you ready to make your commitment today and to give your life back to Jesus? Because he has a plan of salvation for you and for me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves us in spite of who we are. And that he says that if you love me, if you love me, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Are you meek and lowly for Christ today? As we go through this last portion of these parallels, talking about the shepherd Jesus and the shepherd Christ. David was the shepherd before being anointed. Jesus Christ refers to himself as the good shepherd. I'm so glad. And he says, there's none good. There's only one good, Jesus Christ. Amen. David was the king of Israel. Jesus is the King of Kings. Amen. Both men had God with them and the Holy Spirit. Both men had enemies. You and I have enemies. Both men were conquerors. Have you conquered all your fears? Have you conquered all those disappointments? Have you allowed Christ in to help you to conquer those things that you have not managed to manage in your life? Both men defeated their enemies. Both men were betrayed by people that was close to them. I know we all can identify with that. We've been betrayed by somebody we let in. Both were beloved of God. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me and loves you in spite of who I am, in spite of where I've done and where I've been. And my sins, I'm so glad he blotted them out, because he is God all by himself. He is Jesus the Christ. Both men were beloved by God, but David's name in Hebrew means beloved. God proclaimed his love for Jesus in his baptism. He says, "This is my son, my beloved son, whom I am well pleased." Amen. King Saul pursued David in order to kill him. The Pharisees plotted to kill King Jesus. King David ate consecrated bread. Jesus Christ consecrated the bread in the Last Supper for the disciples. Before being king of Israel, David was anointed king over the house of Judah. Jesus Christ, is referred to as the Lion of Judah. I'm so glad that he's a friend that stick closer than a brother. But one thing I can say that I'm glad that God still loves me. I haven't always been right. But even in my wrong, God still loves me and he still loves you. God promised King David offsprings that they will be established in the last days. They will be established on the throne, and the king will be with them forever. Jesus Christ, the King of David's offspring, will have a throne that will last forever and ever. David cast out demons. Jesus Christ called out the demons just by his word. David delivered Israel from the enemies. Jesus delivered his followers from the fears of Satan. Here's my ending. David was 30 when he became king. Jesus was 30 when he began his ministry. You don't have to be old, young people, to start ministry. Both men were born in Bethlehem. Both men betrayed by people close to them. I know that you and I, we're people of God, and we love God with all of our hearts. But sometimes we know we fall short. So I want to give my life back to Christ. Each and every day. He says, "Lord, this is the day that you have made. I want to rejoice in today because I'm not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised tomorrow. But you promised me that you will never leave me nor forsake me." I'm so glad that God made promises, and God sticks to his promises. I have 3 appeals as I bring this message to a close. Someone today needs Christ to be the center of their life again. You know, some of us step in and we step out. We're with Christ today and tomorrow we want to do our own thing. Someone needs to return to Christ today, my first appeal. Someone needs to come on home. Bring it all home. Bring it back to Christ. Someone, for the first time, needs to give their life to Christ. We heard about the baptism of the two young men earlier in the service. Some of us need to come home and be baptized. Some of us need to give our life to Christ for the first time. Third appeal is somebody is going through crisis in their life. There's some issues in your life. I have my own set of issues. My sister's getting ready to be buried on the 27th. My issue is I have to deal with that. How can I help the family? As the minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I go help many families. As an officer in the Detroit Police Department with many families. Troubles and tribulations and trials and errors. I deal with families all the time. But when it comes to my own family, it's hard. It's hard. But I have to cry out with a loud voice, say, Lord, give me strength. Not my will, but your will be done. So give me the right things to say to my own family. I know when I go up to other families, I have the Holy Spirit use me and I have good things to say and I can bring those things to a point and I can put forth Christ and his goodness and his mercy and that if we just lean on Jesus Christ. But how do you tell somebody that you came up with that? Will they listen to you? People that knew you from way back then, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, and they know what you came through. They know where you've been. They know what you and him, that y'all used to do together. But will they look at you the same way when you try to lead them to Calvary? Jesus Christ paid it all. It's a story about a town in a road called Via Della Rosa. That's the name of the road that Christ, the winding road that Christ had to come down carrying the cross. It's called Via Della Rosa. Said he was beaten and he was bleeding. He came down the road still carrying the cross. Some say that cross was hundreds of pounds. But then he was weak and bleeding. But then someone on the side, as he fell to his knee, a Roman soldier pushed a person over, Simon the Cyrene, and says, help him. So he had to grab the cross and help Jesus. But Jesus took that walk because he loved us. He kept on going. And somebody today need to know that they need to keep going because Christ loved you. God loves you in spite of what you're going through. Jesus took that walk step by step. And you have to continue to take the walk step by step, regardless of what you're going through. You lost a loved one, you still have to go. Some of you are dealing with sickness and cancer and all kind of things. You still got to take the walk. Jesus says, I will be with you all the way to the end. He said, take my hand. Take my hand. He says, I'll carry you through. Why? Because I love you with an everlasting love. I'm going to continue to love you. I'm going to carry you regardless of what you're going through. Somebody needs Jesus today. I'm inviting you to come down to the front and let us pray for you. Ask the pastor and the elder Mike to stand up. Somebody needs prayer today. Somebody needs to give their life to Christ. Somebody have issues that they want to confess. Somebody needs to give those all those heavy burdens, all those things in your life you need to give to Christ right now. Let them go. Let them go. Somebody need Christ today. Would you come? Doors of the church is open. Christ is calling you. He says, come and lay him at the foot of the cross. Whatever you're going through today, church, bring him to the cross. He's waiting for you. He says, my arms are open wide. I love you. I took the walk. I took the walk down that road called Via Della Rosa. knowing that I had to go to the cross, knowing that they were getting ready to nail me to the cross. He was nailed to the cross for you and me. I'm so glad he did it. I could have shed my blood. My blood was shed. But it meant nothing. All it meant that I needed to get some more blood. Jesus shed his blood for you and me because he wanted us to have a right to the tree of life and have everlasting life. Somebody today needs Jesus. Just like I do, I need Jesus each and every day. Would you come? Before we pray, where's that young man? You lost your cousin? Come down here, sir. Let me pray for you. All you young men on that road, please come down here. All y'all. This is our future, everybody. Young men going through troubles. How can you tell a young man that's going through that? What do you say to him? All you say is that God loves you. And I love you. And I'm going to support you. Whatever you're going through, we're going to pray for these young people. Somebody need to come and join these young people today. It says, we need to pray for our young folk. We need to pray for our older folk. Our senior citizens. We need to pray. The Bible says we need to pray without ceasing. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. These young people need prayer. They're going through stuff. Bullying in school. Talked about. Beat up. School closing. Don't have the right food. Feed them all kind of stuff. There's stuff going on in our life. We need to lay it at the foot of the cross. It says, Jesus, I take it off and I give it to you. Help me, even when we get weak and we don't even believe anymore. Because some of us vacillate with our faith. I do. Sometimes I say, Lord, I have a weak day. I'm weak right now. I need you to strengthen me. Because I got to walk. Just like you walk down that road. I got to walk today. I got to walk into a house with a family that just lost a loved one. I got to go. I got to walk into a house with somebody that just got robbed. I got to go into the house. I got to walk because you called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. It says we have to be a help in a time of trouble. In church, we are in a time of trouble. Trouble on the right, on the left, above us, all around us. There's trouble. You and I must continue to be a praying church. I'm going to pray. If anybody want to join me, come on down. I'm getting ready to pray. I'm going to ask that I'm going to pray first and the elder Mike pray, and then we have Pastor close out. And then I want to do something special at the end of the service. I ask my sister to sing a song for me to close out before the benediction. I asked her to just let God use her to take her wherever the Holy Spirit would take her. Because I know that we need help today. The enemy is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He's trying to get you. He's trying to get our children. He's trying to get our neighbors. He's trying to get us any way he can. We must be about our Father's business. It's not about me. Some people think it's about them, but it's not. It's about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's about what have you done for him lately? Not what have he done for you? I need Jesus in my life. And if your life has been like mine, you need him too. I'm going to pray and ask Elder Mike to pray behind me and Pastor to close. Would you bow your heads with us as we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord, our God, we just thank you, Lord, for another day. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here for such a time as this. To even hear the word about the parallel between King David and King Jesus. King Jesus and King David. We know God and Jesus Christ, you're the ultimate King. King of kings and Lord of lords. All of us have fallen short. But we know we just want to give our life back to you. Say, come into our life, King Jesus. and make us whole again. Whatever we're going through, whatever the saints are going through, whether it's financial, whether it's sickness, whether it's death, whatever their needs are, Heavenly Father, provide for them. Provide for this church. Father, this is a place of refuge, Father, for your saints. Pray for Pastor Patterson as he continues to lead out and the staff of this church, Father. All the spiritual caregivers, Father, we all need spiritual care. I just pray, Father, that you'll continue to love us. Even, Father, when we turn away from you, never turn away from us. Sometimes we're weak and feeble. But, Lord, we know that you are a loving, a kind, and a just God. So, Father, I pray for the young man that lost his cousin at 7 years old. I pray that you would bless these young individuals that's up here now. I pray for the family, Father. I don't know what they're going through, Father. But you know, and you know exactly what they need. So I'm asking that you would pour your spirit out on this family and all the families around us, Father, that's going through trials and tribulations and tragedies in their life. And most of all, Father, those who are hurting. They have no desire for just wants and needs. They just want to be healed because they're hurting, Father, because someone has hurt them in the church. But for those who need healing in their life, I'm asking that you would send forth your healing power. And as they go through the healing, Father, I pray that you would give them the comforter to comfort them, Father, as they go through this time in life. We just continue to pray to you, Father, because we love you. We confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And we give it all to you. We lay all of our concerns, our burdens at the foot of the cross. And say, Lord, take care of them. Because you can. And we know you will. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.